Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Tower of Babel podcast. As always, I am Julian Muche. I am joined by Jeremy Cozier.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the latest Marvel blockbuster, right? It's really only thing that's on in movie theaters now. It's the only thing people go to see. So, of course, we're here to review it 1 week late. Actually, you know, it's funny, Jeremy. I ended up going to the 10:30 show on Thursday night, just on a whim.
Damn.
And I ended up on the second highest row of the front section. Does that make sense?
Oh, good.
It's still pretty good seat.
Oh, like in the, like at where? Which
the theater? IMAX screen. The IMAX screen.
The IMAX screen.
Yeah. Did you see it in IMAX?
Yes, I saw it in IMAX 3D. 3D was great, by the way.
I also thought the 3D was very good. And, you know, I haven't seen a 3D movie. Okay, hold on. Before we get into this movie, I want to talk about the theatrical experience for a second. Because, Jeremy, you know that, of course, we are major evangelists of the theatrical experience. You want to see movies? Where do you see them? You got to go to church, right? You got to go to the theater.
Yeah. And we're spoiled with our Cineplex and Silver City.
Well, I mean, yes, to some degree, yeah, because there's
I don't think we are at all.
We don't have an IMAX. We used to have an IMAX screen here in Winnipeg, a true IMAX experience, wraparound screen, all that stuff. And then it closed because they put it into the worst possible location, third floor of a downtown mall that no one goes to. So it's gone.
It's
now.
A cool mall though, to be fair.
Like if you love hanging out in abandoned malls, it would be a great place to shoot a movie or something.
Dude, I used to go there all the time for there's an HMV there.
Yes.
I got all my games and even graphic novels and stuff when they started to sell those.
HMV there was a very small sliver of time when it was like the fucking place, you know, like it was for like 3 years. It's like you could get all your DVDs, Blu-rays, you could get graphic novels, posters. Vinyls hadn't really started coming back in, although I don't really recall. We weren't there for the music. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Do you know what HMV even stands for?
Home Music Video.
Did you just make that up, or do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Neither. I don't know. I don't know either. But
both. I made it up, and I don't know.
the modern version, I guess, the quote unquote modern, the version of that store that we have today is Sunrise Records, and it's not the same, in my opinion.
Good. It's basically the same. It just doesn't have, like video games and
yeah.
And like it's just not centered on that. It's just centered on music and knickknacks.
And knickknack, it has got the
knickknacks. But they have lots of DVDs and box sets and TV shows, yes, and anime and all your like niche things like that.
It's just, I mean, I've certainly bought, and they have vinyl now. That's right at the front. And I like that seems to actually draw people in. People like to browse through the vinyl, including me. I don't know. It's just not the same. But also, I'm older, right? And I don't care about physical media as much anymore. So, you know, six of one, half dozen another. But the point is, so we have our IMAX screen, right? This IMAX, quote unquote IMAX screen at our Cineplex, the largest Cineplex outlet in Winnipeg, which used to be called Silver City. And Jeremy, the funny, one time I said that to somebody who worked at another of the Cineplexes, like one of the young children that work there.
And he was like, why are you talking about Saint Patel?
And he was like, what's a Silver City? He's like, I don't even know what that is. I'm like, okay, fair. It's been a long time. It's been Scotiabank Theater now. It's been for a long time. But go to see the movie. It's fine. They only use half of the total available kiosk space that they could, right? So you stand in line a little bit longer. Although I get that because like you can't have that many staff on, you know. Who can afford that?
For what exactly? Sorry, is it,
the experience at
the original IMAX.
Yeah, well, no, it's Scotiabank Theater. So you go to get your popcorn. There's that full circle. There's that island of, popcorn makers, and they only use half of it, right?
Yeah, that's not a big deal. It just depends on how much staff they have and what's going on.
And so I get into the movie, it's fine. And then you know what I was excited about? I was excited about, it actually wasn't fine because the guy I was sitting next to smelled funny. So that sucked.
Like for the whole movie?
There was just a little bit of a stink, a little bit of a stench. Just a little one. That like you'd get a whiff of it, you know, most of the time. So I'm in the movie theater. I'm like, they're going to play the Avatar 2 trailer. There's a sneak peek to Top Gun 2. I'm like, this is going to be sick, right? And...
Oh, yeah. Top Gun 2 was something to behold.
Right? It looks so cool.
But so was Avatar. So was Avatar. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's more funnier to say Top Gun.
Well, okay, but this is me getting in my soapbox for a second. They didn't fucking turn off the goddamn lights, Jeremy. The trailers all played.
Same thing happened for me.
And
same
I'm
thing
like,
happened for me.
And I'm just like, what the? I was livid. I was like, there's no excuse.
There's like
for
some guy. Okay, there was like talk. There was like talkers, like kind of like left behind me. But I was in the like by the bars, like no one in front of me, like just kind of the very bottom of the top row, I guess, or the back.
Yeah.
And one guy, when the movie started and the lights weren't turning off, he's like, why aren't the lights off? And then he just kept saying it over and over again, like in the same exact way. Why aren't the lights off? Yeah. Like you just get like, we could all hear him. And then, like eventually you just see some guy like walking in front of us, like clearly going to the back to like tell someone.
Yeah. And this is
But yeah, it was kind of shitty to start the movie that way for sure.
Yeah. Did your lights turn on early for you as well? Did the lights turn on before the end of the movie for you?
I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that at all.
I had a double whammy of they didn't turn the lights off for the previews, and then they turned the fucking lights on early before the movie even ended, before we even got to the credits. Never mind for like the post credit scene or whatever. So
it's such an integral part of the experience that is just taken for granted. So,
I don't
like there's people who have to like be the ushers of this venue essentially. Yes. They have to wait by the door.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They should be there for questions, concerns, safety things.
They do not care.
It feels like there's less of that now than there was before. Like you could always just see people like waiting around or like watching the movie with you who worked there.
Remember, Jeremy, there was at one point when you had before assigned seating, when you had rush seating, which that was the greatest, like the best thing that has ever happened to movie theaters was assigned seating. But before that happened, remember you'd wait in line and that was an experience. That was fun and I'm nostalgic for it, but I don't miss it necessarily. And you'd get in there and you'd rush in and you'd get your seat and you'd save your seats with your jackets and all that stuff. But sometimes there'd be like a kiosk of people selling, like they'd have popcorn and other shit for sale in the movie theater. Do you remember that?
Not really.
It was a short-lived experience. But
I just remember the really long lines. It was crazy. Always for
hours
for the midnight showing of a Marvel movie or like a Lord of the Rings or whatever DC movie. And it just like I just remember the anticipation though was just insane because it was a little like the internet was still there but it wasn't as prevalent or like
people weren't on Twitter the whole time. You could pull out
we
your
didn't
DS.
Know like we didn't know everything about every movie before it comes out, right? Like we've seen all the behind the scenes like footage of all these movies we're seeing now, right? Like so go ahead, finish here.
I don't know. My soapbox thing is, Jeremy, you're 100% right. It is an integral part of the movie film going experience, and it was fucking robbed from me. And it's not the first.
Especially to get you into the movie.
Yeah.
To situate yourself into the movie is so crucial, and the director and everything behind the movie, like there's a choice being made of what you're supposed to intake first: music, sounds, the visuals. And then you're along for the ride. So we kind of just get dropped into the formula that we know. And now it feels more like a formula because we just got dropped into it. We weren't able to soak it in properly.
Well, I mean, it's a couple things. It's that it's an insult to my time because Either you tell me, because the movie starts at 10:30. The movie starts at 10:30. Either the movie experience starts at 10:30, which includes the previews, right?
Where's the light? Is it an actual light switch? Where is it?
Because it used to be. It also used to dim, and it doesn't dim anymore. You're right.
Yeah, the dimming was the best.
It used to dim, and now it's just
stages of
light.
It's stages of lighting. Like it's bright, and it dims for certain things, right? Like maybe get your snacks ready. Maybe it's like a couple commercials or like a weird trailer, or whatever. And then goes off. You know it's on.
Am I crazy for saying this? Do I sound like
no? It's just like if I'm listening, like I just like it just sounds like we're complaining, but like we are, and it's like that's the last thing people want to listen to. But
no, whatever. I suppose I understand. I mean, all I'm saying is I tweeted at them at Cineplex while I was in the movie theater, and it got a little traction, not a lot, but my general stance is
how
like,
many listen, quote tweets.
I don't know. Not I don't.
You know the number exactly.
Zero quote tweets, Jeremy. Well, a couple retweets, but zero quotes, okay. And a few likes. But that's technically qualifies as try. Anyway, so the funniest thing about quote tweets, Jeremy, is that if you block someone, you can't see you that you're the person. If they quote tweet you, you can't read what they said. I think that's so. Or they block you. I think that's so funny.
It's all hilarious.
Yeah,
it's really good. Just arguments and narratives.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm right, you're wrong. Let me prove it to you.
You're right, and that's all stupid, but I'm right now about this light situation because you got to turn off the lights. If the movie experience starts at 10:30, turn off the lights at 10:30. It's not about people not being able to find their seat or whatever. If they wanted to be there on time, they would be or whatever, or they come in late and the lights are off. That's always been the way it is. So why are we changing that now? It's not a safety issue, right? Because otherwise you'd lock the doors or whatever after. No one would be allowed to leave or something. It comes off as just like, oh, we want it to feel more casual. But it's like, no, I don't want people talking during the previews. If you turn the lights off, people will shut up. So it's, or the other option is tell me when the showtime should be when the actual movie starts, right? So I can come in after the trailer. Movie starts at 10:30. Trailers play for 10, 15 minutes beforehand, and then the movie starts at 10:30, and I can get there and I can be there for that experience. Otherwise, it's just more ads. It's more diluting the experience, ruining the experience. So that's and they wonder why no one wants to go to the movie theaters. I mean, I don't know. That's it. I'm done.
That's it.
That's all. That's all on that topic. Let's talk about the actual movie, though. But before we do, I'll just quickly remind everyone to follow us on Twitter at Tower Babblecast, facebook.com/TowerBabblecast, and head over to our website, towerbabble.ca, to find everything that we do, including Small Screen Star Wars, which is another podcast that we do covering Star Wars on the small screen, as it sounds like. We'll be covering Obi-Wan at the end of the month. Very excited. We're going to try to squeeze in an episode where we talk about our favorite Obi-Wan Kenobi moments. Stay tuned for that. But I have some work travel in between, so it's going to be tough. But if it's not before the season, it'll be after. Because who knows, maybe we'll have some new favorite Obi-Wan moments after the series. Jeremy, have you seen all the really cool stuff that Hayden and the whole Ewan and all them are doing, like the press tour stuff?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. I think I read the quotes from Ewan, which are pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Just and then I saw the video just kind of going over the history of Star Wars and what it was perceived as, just calling a spade, I guess, and like talking about the critical nature of it, which is pretty apropos to nowadays in the critical culture or whatever. But then just saying like, you know, there's always a fan base. There are people who enjoy these things, and it's cool that he can share that with those people now that this many years later. So it's just a really cool sense of healing almost, before we get to see this continuation of this thing that, you know, we basically never thought we would have ever gotten.
Well, it just didn't seem, what's it going to be? Just him hanging out on the desert the whole time? You know, that was always the sentiment, right? So it's like, it's going to be exciting. You got Ewan back. You got Hayden Christensen back. I think the coolest part, though, out of that quote was him talking about how he's like, when we were making those movies, it was really hard. The work was hard because it was like all blue screen, green screen stuff. And that was new for them. And it made it difficult. And he's like, and then they were poorly received. He's like, people did like, they were critically panned. And he's like, that hurt. It was like hard to listen to. And he's like, so he kind of had a bad, bitter taste in his mouth about Star Wars for like years and years and years. Right. Mm-hmm. And then now he's kind of like, he got back into it with the Obi-Wan stuff and he's like seeing all this love. And so is Hayden. And he's like, it's really, it like refreshes him. And it feels like he's like, it's totally like changed his perspective on
well, his relationship with Star Wars is how he worded it.
Yeah,
too,
exactly.
Kind of cool.
It's like I don't know what that means necessarily, but it's like I'm happy for him and I'm happy. Like it seems like to me that the their kind of hearts back into it, which is, you know, I think important. So I'm super stoked for you know, it's going to be like clear the room, all the lights are off, don't make a fucking sound situation. You know, I wish I could watch it in theaters. Like, to be honest, every week I would pay $10. A week to go see an episode of Obi-Wan in the theater.
Can't you rent out a theater though? Isn't that a thing, that a service?
You could, but it's not $10.
How much is it really? How much realistically though? How much do you think it would be? Like,
I think it's like $150.
I'd imagine.
It's like not as much as
you
think.
You can do whatever you want. There are video games.
Yeah. Yeah. If I smash and watch Obi-Wan,
yeah.
Sounds pretty sick. All right, let's get into Doctor Strange. So, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. This is rated PG-13. It comes in at 2 hours, 6 minutes. Directed by Sam Raimi. Written by Michael Waldron. Stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, Chiwetel Ejiofor, among, you know, many, many more. Benedict Wong, Rachel McAdams.
Both named Benedict.
Sorry?
They have the same name in real life.
Yeah, Wong and Wong. Yeah, it's
no, very... Wong and Doctor Strange.
Oh, right. Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch and Benedict Wong. Yeah, it's the two Benedicts. It's a breakfast order. And then you got Michael Stuhlbarg in there who's literally there for one scene, which I think is very fun. We're not going to jump into spoilers quite yet. But it is sitting at a 74% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, 87% audience score. It is obviously the first kind of big summer movie of the year. We, you know, Rachel and I recorded a summer movie wager episode. We had to get it in before Doctor Strange came out because it's the official, the unofficial beginning of summer movie season. And Jeremy, I don't know about you, but I am fucking stoked for having a summer movie season again this year, right? Like, just no, like, boom, movie, blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster. Some movies that we've been waiting for 2 years. Ahem, Top Gun. Thank God it's coming out this month. Please don't let the world end. I'm so excited.
But this was the biggest one out of the bunch, though, right?
You think? You don't think Thor? You don't think there's others in there?
I guess Thor is so quick, isn't it? Like next month or something?
It's closer to the end of the month, like July, I think. Yeah. This one's pretty big. Thor's pretty big. Jurassic World is going to be probably the biggest from a box office standpoint. At least that's
In terms of story, though, too. Like this one was just like every Marvel movie, or more so like the Spider-Man one to the main Avengers one, like just under secrecy, right? Like
it kind of feels like it came out of nowhere. You know, like we didn't get a lot of trailers or anything, and I kind of stayed away from the trailers. I didn't. Although I will be honest, I did get spoiled about one thing. I'll talk about it when we get there. And I'm really pissed. Like, let me just say, if you're one of the people out there who posts spoilers on the internet before the movie even comes out to general audiences, I hope you get cancer. I'm sorry. That's not true. I just think it's really rude. There's just no reason to do that. You can wait until the movie comes out to have the conversation around the costume or whatever it is that you want to talk about. It can wait, is my opinion. So I don't think that's a bold choice. Anyway, Jeremy, what was your initial thoughts on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Initially, just like I was just super entertained, and I thought it was just a crazy movie. And I just really appreciated it for how crazy it was, really. Like, I just, yeah. That was my way into just really, like, just liking this movie, and parts of it, like, really, like, just really enjoying it. But also it can also feel a bit of a mess and just kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, just the experiencing this movie and everything that goes on, it's just so comic booky, and you just can't, how can you not love that? Basically.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It is a like Jack Kirby comic come to life, right? You know, it's got so much color, and it's super wacky. It's also like, it's got these horror elements, which I think, you know, obviously are Sam Raimi influence coming through, but it overall, I think it's very fun. It's very enjoyable. It doesn't feel quote unquote like a formulaic Marvel movie. Some of them have felt that way. I think this one less so, but I think its biggest problem is its pacing. It starts and it does not give you a moment to breathe. There is no downtime. It is like, as soon as the movie begins, you're into an action sequence. There is this brief pause where there's this kind of like, oh, now the movie's actually starting, right? And then even that is only like, I swear, like 3 minutes. And then you're back right into an action sequence, and it's just nonstop from there, literally up until the credits. And yeah. it's too much. It's too fast. It feels rushed in certain parts, but then
it slows down to those scenes where it is like full on Sam Raimi, and like you're getting like that crazy, music battle or whatever.
Yeah, that's like,
with
sick.
All those insane visuals, which might be probably the coolest part of the movie, or visually, I guess. But I mean, there's so many to pick from. To me, it just became very apparent, like really quick, that this experience is just it's our patience being rewarded. If you are just looking for that next big MCU, feast, like this is it. Like it's just Doctor Strange going through the ringer and showing us all these possibilities that we never knew. Just kind of coming to fruition, but in such a wacky, crazy, adventurous way. But ultimately, it just doesn't hone in slow enough for certain things to really breathe and feel satisfying,
meaningful. Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
because you have those side stories, or Doctor Strange relationship. Those types of things felt formulaic, even though it was like a different outcome in terms of their relationship or whatever.
Well, I mean, I feel like Doctor Strange doesn't learn very much. like there's supposed to be like a lesson, quote unquote, that's something like the main character is supposed to learn. I guess his lesson in this movie is that he shouldn't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the, if that's it, it certainly doesn't land with a punch, I largely like this movie. I struggle with it because I feel like it could be way tighter. It just feels like it's just got these like little loose edges that if you just tighten them up here, the funny thing is when I wrote my very brief Letterboxd review of this, which is like, I don't say this about very many movies. This movie, like I said, comes in at 2 hours, 4 minutes. It could do with an extra half an hour of movie.
It just feels longer though than 2 hours.
It does feel long.
I saw a tweet from I think it's Chris Gore, and he started off with it by saying, "This movie is 2 hours, and it feels 2 hours too long." I was like, "Man, like it's so weird to say that," but like there are moments like what, but it's not. It just felt longer than 2 hours. I don't know.
Well, it feels
there's just
long,
so much going on.
It's because it's non, like it just never stops, right? Like if. You get those
it's crazy too with Raimi because of Spider-Man 3 and this whole comeback season, and it's Raimi in the MCU and he's doing Strange. It's so cool. But the problem with 3 was the studio mandates with the extra characters and having Venom in there with Sandman and the new Green Goblin. And it was like all these things. He wasn't able to hone in on just like certain relationships and tell like a really cool story. The MCU and Kevin Feige kind of took over here and have this huge grand adventure. Yeah. And Raimi's just kind of pulling it all together best he can. But it's just so huge. We're going all over the place and seeing so many characters. Like, I walked out, like when I really walked out of this movie, all I could think about was the character reveals and their and their kind of little time on screen and like what happened and
well, there's the one sequence,
some of the actors that come back,
right?
Like, yeah.
And I don't know, like we can certainly talk about that for a while. I don't, let's hold on that for just a second. I think, I think there's two. I think that's a good point, Jeremy, because this is a Doctor Strange movie, and I think this is a Marvel problem at right now, just in general in the movies, is that they don't want to concentrate on the character that the movie's about. Like, this is a Doctor Strange movie, but it's more of an America Chavez movie than it is a Doctor Strange movie, right? So you've got all of these movies chock-a-block full of Marvel characters, and it's like so fun to be able to see, like, you know, have this established world that you can have an adventure like this in and talk about multiverses and stuff. And that is cool in and of itself, in my opinion. But you lose the thread a little bit when you start being like, okay, and this is America Chavez and this is her backstory. And, oh, also here's more, we're going to flesh out Wong some more. And also, you know, here's all these new characters that you wanted to see that we've been talking about for a while. And also here's, like, it just never ends. Like, it's, and here's three versions of Doctor Strange. Also, here's multiple versions of Wanda. Like, it's just overstuffed, I think, a little bit. And you can follow it as the movie's happening, but if you take a step back and you're like, what actually happened in this movie? It's very convoluted and kind of muddy.
But it kind of gets away with it because of like the title and like with madness, right?
Right.
And like just the nature of the multiverse and different universes and just the complicated nature of that. Like, it's, and then with what happens and how devastating the things that happen are, like,
oh,
it's the worst so possible violent outcome in all the character scenarios.
Right,
it's astounding.
Yeah,
how that was kept secret. Like, it's shocking. This is AAA MCU content right here. That I don't know how I think some people might not like it. Some people will really enjoy it. I don't know.
I think if you've liked the MCU so far, there's no way you don't like this movie. What don't you like about it? If you like,
right?
So it's like this movie is being made for people who already like the MCU, right? So it's like you're gonna come into the MCU now and you're gonna watch Doctor Strange 2. It's not gonna make any fucking sense. So, you know, I don't really, you know, these movies aren't being made to bring in new Doctor Strange fans. I don't think, you know, it's like you were already there. The crowd is already there for you, right?
So they have to up the ante, and they're doing it again. This is like Infinity War times two, essentially, but like with a little bit of less baggage on certain characters because they're new. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just like, It's more like Game of Thronesy, like the deaths, I guess.
Well, I see
for certain characters,
it's a bit of a cheat, I think, because they're multiverse.
And then it's the boy. It's also the boys too, like the Amazon show.
Yes,
it's that. It's just that crossover of superheroes and like just the meta commentary on it and just all those stories, like Invincible, like all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's infiltrating this Marvel MCU universe, and it's the most devastating, dire, like evil, like just terrible feeling type things happening.
That
it's odd to fit into the MCU as it is, but it's cool mixed with the horror elements as well.
Yes.
It's just a bit all over the place, though. It's unfortunate because there's so much happening. It doesn't feel tight because it's a season of the MCU thrown at us in the theatrical experience.
Yes. Why? So here's the thing. I really wanted to be like, man, those deaths really worked on me. They were like, that was really cool or whatever. I don't feel that's not the sense I got, right? When those, and we're talking about the deaths in the middle of the movie, and we haven't gotten to kind of the deep spoilers yet, but like, they don't land for me because, like I said, it feels like a cheat because we're dealing with multiverse versions of these characters. So, you know, when we get to the end of this phase and the multiverse phase is over and it's all collapsed, they have their own quote unquote crisis. It's Secret Wars. And then that all collapses down into some kind of tidy new single universe that has the X-Men in it, probably. It'll feel, things will have feel like a little bit more weight now. But when you talk about infinite multiverses and infinite versions of Doctor Strange and infinite versions of all these other characters, it's like, well, I really only care about the ones from the 616 universe, which, by the way, I find really interesting that they continue to use 616, which they, it's like, there's this kind of weird, element to Spider-Man Far From Home now, because Mysterio talks about the multiverse. He's like, oh, I'm from the multiverse or whatever, right? But he's lying, you know? And he talks about how he's like, oh, we're in the 616 universe. And everyone's like, oh, that's cool, because that's what the Marvel comic book universe refers to its like core universe as, right? But that was all supposed to be a lie. So how did he dial in on that? How did he know exactly what the number was? Who cares, I guess, ultimately. Not a big deal. They can retcon it however they want. But the other thing about calling the MCU the 616 universe, which is that you can't make the comic book world, the actual comic books themselves, a part of the MCU now, because you're kind of overlapping. And which is weird, because it's like, oh, well, we're going to do, there's a paint world that they talk about in when they're kind of going through all the multiverses, right? There's clearly an animated world. So it's like, why couldn't there be a comic book one? And now you can't really do that because you're calling it the same thing. So I think that's kind of, it's like a missed opportunity to me, but I guess that gets way too meta and a little bit too confusing. So I don't know if that even matters. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
Well, I was hoping you'd have a longer thing to say because I was taking a sip of water. But, again, that doesn't really matter. It's just something that I think if you're really, really paying very close attention to all this stuff, you might have paid, you might have caught on to. What did you think of Wanda as a character, how she's used here? You did see WandaVision, correct?
Yes, okay. Did see WandaVision. But I am one of those people that just like, I just don't want to talk about WandaVision anymore. I like how people were super, hyped about it. And it was this kind of little mini breakout thing. And it made people look at Age of Ultron again, like their first appearance. The MCU strike and go with these castings, with these actors who are just, top notch, especially Paul Bettany as Vision. Oh. That was, for me, that was like kind of the breakout thing for me, was just his performance, kind of being unaware of what's going on and just being affected by that. And just such a cool story for Wanda to go through this her own crisis and kind of create these realities and like showcase her powers. And then we really see the full extent of that as a full blown villain who basically is invincible, is how they portray her.
Which
kind of it makes me question all those deaths and how they happen and how easy it would be and like those types of things, which I think are fun though. Like,
yes, that is a fun debate to have. I agree totally. 100%.
And you see that on Twitter stuff. You see the Superman versus Wanda, which is it's a funny one to see both sides of that one.
I like the bold choice to just be like, yeah, no, she's the villain of this movie. I think that's you're far enough along in this process of the MCU where you can use characters that were heroes and make them villains now. Love that. Like,
and absolutely, just amazing the turn that happens you know, shortly after Stephen, you know, comes to her for help.
It's a little quick, just, right?
I thought it worked so, so well. You think? Just, yeah, because we're just in this middle of this huge thing, this huge mess. It's so cool that he's meeting up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so unexpected that she is the way she is, but I guess also,
but also not, if
makes
you watch
sense because of WandaVision. Yeah. Which they want to make that very relevant. Like there's lots of reshoots here. I'm sure a lot of it, brought in more of that TV show.
Well, it was the first Marvel show. Right. And I loved
WandaVision. Well, it wasn't supposed to be the first.
No, yeah, you're right. It was supposed to be Captain America and, the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
They realized real quick and shifted those dates.
Yeah, well, yeah. Falcon and Winter Soldier is not very good, but not for lack of trying, I suppose. But back to Wanda for a thing. I think I like... I'm conflicted because I like her as a villain. She's very scary as a villain. So that's a win in my book. I think that they do a good enough job setting things up in WandaVision, but the way WandaVision ends, you feel like, oh, you know, maybe she's kind of made a turn and she's kind of rehabilitating herself now. But I guess it ends with that tease with the Darkhold, so it sets up the movie, right? But they're essentially using the classic crutch, which is a very comic book move. And so I do not begrudge them for this necessarily, but the classic crutch of, oh, she is being manipulated. She is corrupted by the Darkhold, right? It's the magic of the, that's what's making her so evil, right? But like, I at the same time, I don't feel like the attempts to reason with her are very good. I don't feel like Doctor Strange is the right character to try to get to, you know, have a heart to heart, quote unquote, with Wanda. And it's like, so it feels a little hollow. You know,
well, it's like it just happened already. Like her conclusion, like there was a conclusion in WandaVision. She learned.
Yeah, Jeremy, did you chase it with your mic?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, say
that
again.
It makes sense, but it's also like, well, we did this already. Yes. Like she already knows her, like she learned. Like, what do you mean it's like worse than before?
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, the Darkhold, which is super dope. Yeah. Like,
yes.
The Darkhold, okay. Like, yeah, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
She has it. Holy shit. Like, she can literally do anything.
Well, I love that
it's so campy and like just fits in when she's like, you have, what is she's like 48 hours or something to like turn the girl in and stuff.
Yeah. Like, she's like, yeah, you have 20. I'll give you I think she says until nightfall the next day. And then she doesn't even give them that much time.
Like, it's a pretty cool, like, yeah. It's so quick. And then like they have to like set up like a whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like this whole battle.
But that happens in like 5 minutes.
He's flying up there to meet her in the sky.
Yes.
Looks fantastic in 3D.
Yes. Yes.
Just some really cool stuff going on here. Some really cool action.
I also love how she beats them. Like how she like gets into those people's heads and she's like, run. And then like those people freak out. I think that's super cool.
Very scary stuff.
Well, there's a couple jump scares in the movie. And one of them 100% worked on me. Like I was like, wow, holy shit.
They usually do on you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And what can I say? I'm an easy mark when it comes to that stuff. But, I think also Elizabeth Olsen has like refined her performance enough. It's not her regular voice. It's also not the really silly accent that she had in Age of Ultron. It's somewhere in between and it's like pretty good. So I'm like mostly happy with it. I like that it all kind of comes full circle in the sense that like, oh, well before it was about her understanding her kind of connection to the Darkhold and her connection to quote unquote witchcraft and all like how she is actually in the runes and all that kind of stuff. That's what's in WandaVision, right? And then this movie introduces that it's like actually there's another layer. It's the multiversal layer and you can actually do this dreamwalking thing which where you take over another multiverse version of yourself to cause havoc. It's like, okay, so that's the next, that's how we can fit it into this Doctor Strange stuff. And we can use the kids that we introduced in that show as kind of her motivation. And everyone can just, even if you haven't seen that show, if you think that she thinks that she has kids somewhere, it's good enough. You know, you don't need to do much more work after that to kind of justify it. So I think it's mostly fine. I just like I said before that they had the guts. We're far enough along in this process that we can just use her as a villain now. So I like that. Let's talk about the middle section, that meaty middle section, specifically the character reveals. Yes. How? Okay.
It's so sick when Mordo says that.
Illuminati. First of all, Mordo, I forgot how much I liked him as a character. He's a very fun character.
Yes. And a great actor.
Yeah.
Chetuel Ejiofor.
Rolls right off the tongue. And so we get into this new universe. We have Rachel McAdams had a much bigger part in this movie, by the way, than I expected, to be honest.
So bad.
You don't like her performance?
I did. Like, who cares what's going on there?
Well, I mean, she's supposed to be this constant, right? This constant in his life. If did you see the What If?
No, I didn't.
Thing. So
I like all the tweets leading up to this movie, though. It's like, before heading into Multiverse of Madness, be sure to watch these movies. And like,
but just like comic books,
people would make their real lists. But then some of them would be like The Batman, Watchmen, 300.
That's funny. I like that. Man, yeah. Twitter's like, listen, it might get worse before it gets better, but there is some really funny shit on there. And
no matter what, the internet is undefeated.
Yes, 100%. So we get the Illuminati. Rich McAdams kind of introduces this, like talks about this concept, and there's like, oh, wow, okay. And then we were already spoiled with the Charles Xavier thing. I honestly, Jeremy, did they need to put that in the trailer? Was that necessary? I don't feel like it was.
Well, they put the Illuminati in one of the first trailers, right?
Yes.
Or something like that? Or,
yes.
Okay. So I think that may have been good enough. Mm-hmm. Plus, these movies don't really do much, you know,
with the characters
selling.
Yeah.
No, I just mean like selling in general. So why did you have to, with your selling, why did you have to throw in his voice and then his arm on the wheelchair?
It's unnecessary. It feels like, oh, this will get people in. This is going, that's that next layer of thing. But it's not
the reveal of it. It was with the music.
Yes, Jeremy. Yes.
It was so cool. It was just like, it's like, okay. Like, yeah. So when nostalgia really does hit for the individual, in this case, it is, you know, clear as night and day. Yes. It is us. It is in fact us.
You are seeing yourself on screen for a brief second. Yes. Your soul leaves your body.
Our prayers have been answered.
That's right.
And how incredible is it that Sir Patrick Stewart is?
He looked great.
Is back.
Remember, Jeremy, how
Professor
I said
X.
He looked how old he looked. He did not look as old in this movie for some reason that he does in Star Trek. He did in his Star Trek show. I don't know why.
Just for a moment, even apart from the look, it's just how incredible is it that, you know, we get Patrick Stewart
Xavier.
now tied to in a way tied to the MCU. Which is in turn RDJ as Iron Man,
right?
Which it's just so cool that he gets to share that history, the legacy. Like he's that comic book character,
yes,
appearing again with a new creative team, just as in the comics, and it just makes sense.
I love that
it's like an artist coming back that you know and love.
I love that they don't need to do any real introduction work. They play the music, and then everyone.
Then it's just back to super serious shit.
Yes,
just sitting in their chairs.
Yes,
super confident. Like, well, some of them are. I guess most of them are.
Yeah.
Except for I guess Reed Richards, I would say.
So before we get to Reed Richards, let's finish our thoughts on Xavier. So.
Oh, yes.
I think
I need to say one thing about the look. You mentioned the look.
Okay.
The wheelchair is what's the word?
It's a floating wheelchair. It's a floating wheelchair. Yeah.
No wheels, floating chair.
It's huge.
It's too big. And the close-ups and how they shoot Patrick Stewart here is criminal.
I agree.
It looks like it's up to his chest when he's when he's sitting. He should be on top of this thing, properly positioned as all the artists.
Be like a wheelchair. Just put him in a wheelchair and then CG around it.
We're supposed to see his clean, crisp suit.
Yes.
Is pot? You know what I mean? Like he's like in this huge yellow floating tube, in the water.
Jeremy, criminal. I'm so happy you had this strong take. I love it.
It's just criminal that we have this iconography of him in that chair. There's some good moments, sure, but yes. Some of it is just off. But whatever.
Well, yeah, and like, listen, you can refine the chair over time. Fair enough, but. Like, I just feel like he's not on screen enough, generally speaking.
Yeah, correct.
Like, he's just not.
But he does have a meaty scene when he meets his demise.
Yes.
And this right here is something that talk about like not being spoiled or not seeing any tidbit in a trailer. Yes. Like when this is happening in this eerie kind of white space that, you know, someone like Professor X, in terms of like his capabilities with reaching out to people. And Wanda too, who's almost like a Jean Grey Phoenix,
100%. I thought
type thing going
thing.
On
yep.
here.
Yep.
And just to see him try to reach out in that rubble, and he's walking, it's just so cool. And then the red clouds, and the ultimate snapping or ripping of the head, and just the killing.
It's so brutal
of Professor X, it's and so then just see him just collapse on the chair.
Ugh.
In real life is. Unbelievable.
I would have liked to have seen Charles Xavier put up a better fight in the astral plane, you know?
Yes. But that's all the heroes here, right?
Yes.
So nobody really gets to put up a fight in except for
Captain Carter.
A couple of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then hers, it's like, it to me, it just gets lost in the mix of the campiness if you're in that ride or whatever. Like just with the line, like it's like, why are we hearing the I can do this all day line again?
Because it doesn't make sense. It's not her thing.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, but then it's like, okay, so we have to talk about Reed Richards now.
Yes, please.
Unbelievable once again. John Krasinski.
Yes.
Great casting. Reed Richards in the MCU. Yes.
Very good
casting. Yeah, but it's very good casting because it's been casted already.
it's a fan casting on the internet. Yes.
It is the most well-known, just kind of desired thing in this MCU world we live in, where fans kind of have a voice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's astonishing that they went with it. And
astonishing in a good way or astonishing in a bad way?
I think it's a good way. I think the hate on it is insane. I think no matter what, no matter who you are, whatever role, whatever you're writing, whatever you're doing. Especially if there's something that came before it, no matter what, you're doing an interpretation. So how, like, we haven't seen it yet, essentially,
but like
in full, and there's not enough to be like, this is a wrong casting.
I agree.
And then on top of that, if you're an MCU fan, how do you not root for someone like John Krasinski? Because if you are a true fan, you know that he auditioned for the role of Steve Rogers,
yes,
Captain America,
yes,
very close to getting the part. Ultimately went to Chris Evans. So this is a very cool moment for John Krasinski.
See, if we're talking about Chris Evans, how cool would it have been if you got Chris Evans back as his Fantastic Four character for this movie? How fun would that have been?
Human Torch.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and that will probably still happen one day.
Yeah,
but.
So it's just like, how cool is it that he gets this massive fan favorite character and eagerly anticipated MCU version of Fantastic Four? He gets to lead the charge, and he gets to be the smartest man in the Marvel universe.
And they call him out for being the smartest man too, which So there's two things. I think I don't know how you can judge the. I mean, you can judge it on its own face, right? If you didn't like the performance or you didn't like the costuming or whatever. All right, fair enough. I don't, it's not like there is a definite, to me, it's not like there's a definitive Reed Richards on screen Reed Richards. Like, you're going to tell me that the 2008 movie or the 2002 movie,
there's two of them. Guy was good.
I don't even remember who it was.
Ian Grufford or something, I think his name is. It's like a lead hero or a lead guy,
yeah,
who doesn't quite fit that stereotype or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but it's his brain's kind of they just kind of do too much to where he just comes off as like a fumbling kind of mess, like in terms of those two movies is how he was portrayed.
So in 2000, like
he's not always gonna do the
2005, directed by Tim Story, is the first Fantastic Four movie. And Reed Richards was played by Iowan Grufford.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to say that name.
Yeah.
Anyway, but like obviously Michael Chiklis as Ben Grimm was very cool. And so is Jessica Alba's Storm. I mean, that's all good stuff. But I mean, like I said, I don't think there is a definitive version of Reed Richards on screen. So I don't think it's fair to be like, well, you know, we brought back the definitive Charles Xavier, right? You know?
Yes.
So why didn't we bring back one of the, it's because who cares about those fucking versions? No offense to the people who love those movies, but you know, Fantastic Four hasn't been relevant for 15 years and that's being generous. It could be longer than that. So,
yeah,
you know, I liked it. I liked the performance. I thought it was purposely understated. Like, if you are the smartest man in the room, you don't need to have a lot of bravado. You just need to speak calmly.
And he came across super intelligent when he was sitting on the chair. And 100%. He was basically explaining the dire nature of the situation and his confidence in knowing certain things that Strange doesn't know, even though Strange might know things that they don't know.
Yes.
Which is so cool, and what makes the characters and their dynamics, and you know, sometimes they're on equal playing field, sometimes they're not. So I thought in that brief moment where he was explaining those things, I was like, this is awesome. Like he's and I think right. Krasinski is a great actor. I don't think he's a bad actor at all. Like
no, yeah, I don't I will say I was spoiled on this, like the actual image of him was spoiled, and I was like, man, that sucks. I really felt like I didn't want that.
I thought it was Photoshop though, that image, because it's kind of green screeny.
I was really hoping that it was going to be Photoshopped, like it was going to look better, but it looks exactly the same on screen. I guess the uniform itself maybe could use a little bit of work, but like these are all versions of the costume, right? You get you get the Fantastic Four movie, it's going to look different, right? So we have what is the rest of the cast? So we got, Chiwetel Ejiofor, we have, Mordo, Reed Richards, Charles Xavier, Captain Carter, Black Bolt. So I know Black Bolt's always been a part
Captain
of
Captain Marvel
and Captain Marvel played by, Maria Rambo, right? Or as Maria Rambo, the other version. Mm-hmm. So that's cool, but I was surprised, honestly, because ever since they introduced the idea of Inhumans in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was at one point connected to the MCU, but then kind of like they just kind of stopped talking about it, you know, it kind of became its own thing, which, by the way, is a really fun show. It gets really crazy through seasons 3 and through 5 or whatever, 3 through 6. It's absolutely wild. But, and I would 100% recommend, it's like, it's very fun television, like cheesy for sure, but a lot of fun. And so they introduced these Inhumans, and then they have they spin off into its own show, this Inhumans show, which was originally supposed to be a movie, right? And that show is bad, really, really bad. Like looks bad, performances are bad. The story's
bad. They bring back the main character as Black Bolt in a comic accurate
costume,
MCU costume. Yeah,
and he looks really cool. I mean, he looks kind of cool. He also looks a little silly at the same time.
Yeah, it's the part around the eyes makes it a little silly, I guess.
Well, it just like he looks like the Tick. like that's what it. Maybe it's his chin. I don't know. But and the way he dies is so cool. Also, the death scene that they show killing the other Strange with like saying "I'm sorry" and that kills him is so cool. Like so cool, right? But I was just shocked that they went with that. I was like, oh wow, okay. This is really, it's a bold choice. I think all the other options are, it's like, yeah, it's really fun to have Professor X here, but if you're going to do it, okay, we're going to go big. We're going to introduce Reed Richards here. We know there's a Fantastic Four movie coming, so maybe not as crazy, but like to bring back that character, the actor from this bad television show and put him into this, in that costume, is just very bold. And so I really appreciated that. Sorry?
It's all bold. And the thing is that they can tease this and introduce these characters, but they can get away with not like fully reintroducing them or introducing them because they get killed off immediately, essentially.
Well, and it's these multiverse characters. So it's like you get to have your cake and eat it too, which is why it feels like sometimes the stakes don't really feel very high, right? The stakes only feel high when we're dealing with America Chavez, when we're dealing with Doctor Strange, and we're dealing with Wanda, though, or I guess also Wong, who gets his ass kicked in this movie. He's just constantly getting thrown around.
Yeah, there's like so many scenes of him just being thrown and then like rolling around and getting up.
Yes,
and then like you can like the reshoots are kind of evident with or certain time frames because like his hair is a bit off and stuff. But like that's my detailed eye, I guess.
That you caught that one. Yeah. I just thought it was so funny because it's like he gets knocked out for a little bit. It's like okay, so he can't help. And then he gets knocked off a cliff later, and then he gets up the cliff, and then he gets knocked over again. And I'm like, man, guys, can we do something else with this? He is technically supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme, and they're doing that fun running gag with him being like, oh, it's
fortify your minds.
I really like Benedict Wong. I think he's great. I like every performance he puts in is like top notch, in my opinion. I love it. But the stakes don't feel high because you have these multiverse characters. And I honestly think this is going to be a problem when we get to the Secret Wars stuff. I think this might, like, it could come to a head and be a bigger issue. But, you know, I also, at the same time, Marvel's been done a very good job figuring this all out. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on all that stuff. I guess let's just quickly touch on the deaths of these characters. So crazy, right? Because this movie takes a turn. At that moment, when that happens, it is a different movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It is so wild. The second that Black Bolt's mouth disappears, which is a classic Matrix line, by the way. That's like that's a move.
That's
from
the first
Matrix
thing I thought about.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like predictable what's going to happen.
Yes. But also, I love the line, like, cool. What mouth is such... But it's like, also, how does Captain Carter put up any fight at all if she can just erase people's mouths with her mind?
That's the thing. It's like, that's where it loses like me. Like, I'm super in, like, it needs to have some sort of like tangibility or rules a little bit. Yes. You know what I mean? Because at that point, she could just do that to everyone in the room. She could close their nostrils. She could remove their nose. She could just collapse their lungs. She could just make everyone's brains explode instantaneously. Right. Just rip their heads off out of
the
air.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's the boys and that whole thing kind of affecting entertainment and what people talk about and what people are into. And it's doing it in this multiverse way where it's not going to have the real stakes or ramifications.
Yes.
We're going to see John Krasinski again.
Yes.
We're probably going to see Black Bolt again. We're going to see Captain Marvel again.
Yeah, we're going to see Charles Xavier
again. We're going to see Carter again, probably. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
So it's all cool though. Like that's the thing.
Yeah, you're right. It's like you can be upset about it from like a like storytelling perspective. Like, oh, from a storytelling perspective, it breaks too many rules and makes it feel like magic, in which case then anything can happen. And this is a magic quote unquote movie, but typically the magic's had some form of rules, right? So it's like it's a bit much. It's also shocking for shocking's sake, but you're right. It's still cool. So it's like, you can't really be that upset about it. And that's kind of the ultimate takeaway there. The way that she kills Reed Richards.
But it could have been cool too. If we were like, it would have been cool. Like if certain, like maybe one or two of these deaths were like permanent,
right?
You know what I mean? Like we would see that world kind of feel that loss or feel that moment in time,
right?
That in that universe, it's like, it's always going to be a part of it.
Well, in that universe, she killed the Illuminati. Everyone's their Avengers are dead, basically.
And yeah, you were about to say Reed Richards, like, how effing crazy is it the way he died?
Well, that is like, truly if you the madness.
Read that, Scarlet Witch peeled him up like a cheese string and then exploded his head?
It's so nuts, dude.
What? And that's PG-13 too, which
also,
is hilarious.
Was there were when Black Bolt's head explodes, there's blood, right? It cuts away, but blood splatters on her.
I think there's like bruising, maybe some out of the nose or something. But like his costume, like it like traps like the blast that would go through his skin, I think.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Like it would explain like, I guess just like what that suit is. It's not just black spandex. It's some sort of protective thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just gruesome, gruesome deaths. And then Carter gets cut in half with a shield. You know, that really shows the PG-13 elements when we don't really see anything.
Although
there. It's just really
still
applied.
It's still more gruesome than that neck slit from Uncharted. Right? It still has more weight than that. I mean, I guess. And then like, even the way that she like takes out Captain Marvel, which because it's like, oh, well, that's the true fight, right? Captain Marvel versus like she's the most powerful Avenger. Quote unquote, I guess, if you don't include Wanda. And like she drops a statue on her, and like that's kind of lame. I thought that was a little lame. But it's like, because this is what you mean. It's like you just went from exploding someone, like erasing their mouth, to dropping a statue on someone. And that's like, it just like feels so.
She would have no struggle. Like it's just unfortunate, like in terms of like this, like the nerd rules or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it just takes away from the sense of it all, just
I don't
little bit,
think
even
about
though it's all,
things.
Even though it's all nonsense, I get, you know what I mean? Like it's all just comic book.
I remember we were talking about Jeremy. Superpowers. Like, none of this is real, but it feels real, you know, like I don't want
but
it, to think
it's just
about this
really
stuff.
Cool when they can, it's cool when they can balance different characters though. Like with the Avengers, like initially with all of them coming together in their solo movies, it was so cool to see how, like what respects they would give one another.
Right.
But how they could hold their own as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like when Thor, Cap and Iron Man can kind of hold one, when they're dealing with a god in Thor.
Yes.
It was just so cool that Iron Man, Tony Stark, could be with this super soldier and this god.
Yes.
With the suit he made, and they're all on even playing field.
Yes.
Because he just tried to use his hammer on him.
It felt,
and it didn't work.
It felt balanced.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, those things are awesome when they make sense. And this, it's just the shock value overtook the sense of it all.
Yes.
And that was still super entertaining, but it takes away from the conversations like, oh, who's the most powerful Avenger now? It's like, hey, well, it's
obviously
now
Wanda.
With this example, it's Wanda. Yeah. And now Wanda can just easily defeat Superman with the snap of her fingers.
Yes.
Is what everyone thinks. But it's like, well, if you're on that side of things, it's like, well, he can move, he would move and get her before she'd even have time to react. Like, what about the Flash and the Speed Force?
Right.
You know, those things. Like,
well, I mean,
those
that gets to a whole other level when we start merging these MCU and the DC stuff. I mean, it's a completely different kind of combination of things.
Or but even like, Quicksilver, right? Which is her brother.
Yes. But the way that they show his speed for, like the way that they showed Quicksilver in the MCU, which is different than the way they showed Quicksilver in the X-Men movies. Where Quicksilver in the X-Men movies is like so fast that like an explosion is happening at like ultra slow motion.
Well, it was made for more comedic effect where he can just kind of walk around and
it's really cool though.
Fun
at the same time, it
so
is pretty
fast.
Cool those shots. So that is super fast. Yeah. In that scenario, you could imagine that Quicksilver, who is just his name is Boner, I believe, right? That version of him.
That was just a nowhere
which,
joke.
I'm still pissed about that. That's lame. But so that version could probably could be faster than Wanda could think, right? But the version of Quicksilver that we have from the MCU is kind of just like faster than the average person. You know, it's just like this blur kind of, and that's it. So I don't feel like he is faster than someone can think. but the Flash is. So this is the kind of conversation. This is the kind of shit that really gets you going. What did you think of America Chavez introducing a new character, a relatively recent introduction to a character from the comics who's also relatively new?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't really care too much for it, but it was cool seeing her and Strange interact and just kind of develop that relationship and trust. That was cool. They did have chemistry there. It was
even towards
the end. Like, it's just awesome seeing them in it both in a good place and both better because they've crossed paths. So I can't. There's nothing really. I just felt like it just was like the same thing with her, like a bunch of times, like just really teasing the power, teasing her story.
It feels a lot
finally
like
her just kind of, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself. But it's a PG-13 movie too, right? It's for kids. Like, kids are going to see this movie. So,
so there's a lesson.
That's cool.
There. I mean, yeah. It has a lot of vibes of Spider-Man, right? Like, very similar to that kind of the Spider-Man Doctor Strange interaction is very similar to the America Chavez interaction with Doctor Strange, but they're both kids, so it's kind of has that same vibe. It works to me. I'm not upset about it. Yeah, I liked her. Her performance was good. I thought she had chemistry, like you said. I like that her power is this multiverse power, so that in and of itself is interesting. She becomes the MacGuffin. So I was like, when a person is kind of like in Terminator, when you have a person who's the MacGuffin, right? That can it creates a little bit more urgency, which I appreciate. The stakes feel higher. I like that, everyone has.
And then you add the horror elements of Wanda just tracking and chasing down. When you talk about Terminator,
very T2,
but then they make it like The Ring or like The Evil Dead or Sam Raimi's movies, right? Where she's like twisting through the portal thing.
Yes.
It's like she didn't need to twist like she was possessed by
Exorcist, she did though.
You know what I mean?
She did.
But
have
it's
to do that.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I disagree. Yeah, she did have to do that, in my opinion. and then I love how she has like that. They're running through that that tunnel, and she's got the limp, which is like a classic horror move, right? I like that stuff. But I like also that they built out the multiverse rules in this movie, right? So it's like, okay, when you're dreaming of you having a dream, that's actually you experiencing some sort of multiverse version of yourself. Okay, that's cool. She doesn't dream, so she's the only version of herself across the multiverse. That's what gives her. That's why she's special, has this ability to travel between them. I think that's really cool. They introduced this idea. Well, they don't technically introduce it because it's introduced in Loki. Did you watch Loki, Jeremy?
I did not.
I would recommend it. I think you'd, after having seen this, I think you would really like Loki. And it also will have a larger, it'll have a bigger impact as we go into this multiverse stuff more, because it really started to lay the groundwork for it. So it has this idea of the convergence where two universes collide and then one they destroy each other. This is a kind of a major component of the Loki story and this kind of whole deal with Kang. Oh, and Jeremy, you will love
Kang
that final episode. It's so cool. It's so good. Of Loki, that is.
Yeah, I'm excited for Kang the Conqueror is the next big bad. Like, and the actor playing him, like that actor is blowing up.
Yeah. Majors.
I forget his name.
Right?
Yeah. Majors.
And maybe? He's we see him at the end of Loki. Spoilers for Loki, I guess.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen little clips or just like tweets about the series and what it references, what it could mean, things like that.
Oh, I can't. I'm so happy we can have.
Yeah, no, I just
person.
Well, he was also in that show that was pretty popular,
HBO. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called. Yeah,
and then there's some behind the scenes photos of him on the new Creed movie, and he's
ripped,
absolutely Jack.
I keep forgetting we're getting another Creed movie. I really liked the first one.
He looks like he's playing a new version of Mr. T or something. Like, he's got the mohawk.
Sick.
And he's just absolutely just shredded, like 8-pack.
what do we, so they're like, we got Clubber Lang's son now is involved.
I don't know if that's the case. It's just from the set photos, I was getting those vibes.
Well, I'm sure that's
but no not jewelry, an though.
That's not an accident. So what else was I going to mention? This convergence stuff, it's cool. I like the rules. That's good stuff. Did you like the cameo from Sam Raimi's buddy there? What's his name? What the hell, Jeremy? Help me out here. From Evil Dead.
Bruce.
The Bruce Campbell. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually
I didn't fun. Care for I thought I wanted to be I guess they're always just like weird characters, right? Like,
yeah,
he was the announcer in the first Spider-Man movie,
that usher,
the wrestling matches. Yeah. He was the usher in 2, and I don't remember 3. Probably something funny, but yeah, what was he? Just like a newsstand, hot dog stand.
He was a hot dog stand person, and then she's like, most universes people don't have to pay for food, but in that one you did, and then just makes him punch himself. That's really, I mean, I thought it was very funny.
I enjoyed it once the post-credit scene played. I thought that was good. I thought that was very in tune with what the tone and the humor they were going for in the movie.
It's super meta. I love that. It's just talking
there's
to even, the camera.
There's another moment where it's like full on WandaVision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the happiest, like silliest, just cheesiest, like mother son like thing, and it's like in that moment, I was like, okay, like everyone's just falling. Like this is I can't believe we're like this is how it like it was all a ruse. It was all like this is not the tone,
right.
But we're all like in for that ride for a bit. Like it's like okay, this is what it is. I just love that shift there when that happens in the movie.
Yeah, well, when she's
so
when
funny,
she reveals
it's just so good.
Wait, which part? The beginning?
Like when it's all just happy, lovey dovey with the kids. It's like they're tuck me in.
And, oh yes,
and it's all not. It's just not. That's not the case. That's not happening.
Yes. Well, because that also does a good job of setting stakes. It gives us reason for us to understand the villain's perspective.
It's cool because it's a mini version of those first episodes of WandaVision.
Yes.
If you remember, like how tonally those were just all over the place and representing different
actually,
eras of TV archetypes or whatever.
Did you see when Xavier is in the when he's walking and he's kind of in the astral plane?
Yeah, the line.
Yeah, there's he's pulling her out of the rubble, but on the there's a little TV next to him and it's playing WandaVision on that show, which I thought was pretty cool. The movie lost me a little bit when it was like, oh yeah, the Scarlet Witch is this ancient being that is it has these like four monster protectors at the top of this mountain, and also it's written to the stone, and like that it loses me there a lot. Like I'm like, I it's like this is it was it she it's fine if she's just the bad guy, we don't need to have all this other stuff. So that I didn't love. And then at the same time, we were also getting that like really quiet scene where Doctor Strange is talking to the other Doctor Strange who's in his like universe that's falling apart, the evil Doctor Strange. And they have that music fight sequence, which of course the music in this movie is by Danny Elfman. And this is the best Danny Elfman score in years. So good. I just love the idea that Danny Elfman had to compose and have the orchestra play the I'm geek out over that. I love that. But I like how cool is that sequence where they fight with musical notes? It's the coolest.
Oh, it's the best. It's like this is what you want from a Sam Raimi Doctor Strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like just straight out of a comic book. Like that's what would happen in a Strange movie.
Do you feel like Sam Raimi got enough rope? In terms of like being able to do what he wanted to do. I mean, I know there was the rumors.
Hell no, there's just no way. That's why it just feels a little messy. But there's all these great moments we're talking about that he's able to kind of sink his teeth into and and show his magic, but then it's just there's the next one and there's the next one, then we're moving here, then we're moving there.
Well, because
it has all these shocking deaths.
It's weird to me because the Taika Waititi movie, right? The Thor Ragnarok, and then now this new one, Love and Thunder, certainly have the Taika Waititi feel. And this feels like, in a lot of ways, a Sam Raimi movie, but at the same time, also not at other parts.
But because no matter what, it's the next season of the MCU, in a movie.
It's Kevin Feige.
Yeah. And Benedict Cumberbatch and Elizabeth Olsen are our main. They're up to bat. Their turn.
It's their turn. It's their episode.
Yeah.
It makes sense
in the grand scheme of things.
It's still better than Spider-Man 3 at the end of the day. It's just as busy, but more able to accomplish what it's trying to do. Overall, like I said before, it's a good movie. I don't think it's great. This is not an all-time great MCU movie. I don't think it's top quarter, maybe.
But it's just so crazy though, like with a zombie Doctor Strange is insane. Cool. Those visuals, that
how
battle,
funny by the way, how
when funny. He's like flying with all the huge cape thing.
I thought
holy shit, like this is sick.
He's giving this pep talk as a zombie version of himself is very funny.
That was funny.
Yeah. And like
he
unintentionally
just keep cutting back
so.
To him, it just looks so stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
Oh, I think it might have been intentionally though. I think there's
you think that was in part
Sam Raimi
purpose?
Kind of having fun.
Maybe it's like he's like, well,
like it's so stupid.
We could tell this in one way, or we could do it this really fun way, which is like, okay, right, fair enough, that's fine. So, what did you make of this post-credits sequence with what's her name is in it? Charlie Stein.
I just have no familiarity with the character, so to me, it just landed so badly for me. Like it just. On the next, you know what I mean? Like it's just
on such the next episode. Yeah, Charlize Theron's here.
Yeah, just a. It's like this celebrity signed a major contract that's gonna, you know, lock up her calendar.
Yeah.
Throughout the year.
By the way, speaking of that, there is a quote that came out recently that said Elizabeth Olsen feels a little bitter about the fact that she lost out on roles because of her contractual commitments to Marvel. And my opinion on that is that. It feels like it. I don't love it because it's like, with all due respect, Elizabeth Olsen, you've had a fine career, but in a lot of ways, the MCU has really like saved your career. And so this idea that you should be like, oh, well, you know, you should be able to be done with them whenever you want after you've kind of gotten what you wanted out of it. I don't love that, you know, so much. I feel like, she kind of owes the MCU a little bit for her career in a lot of ways. I honestly think that. So it's like I find a little bit of it rubs me the wrong way, that kind of tact. But you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't know anything about Clea. I someone pointed out, I don't remember who told me this, but it was like this kind of the line where he's like, "Are you afraid?" And he's like, "No," because that was the lesson of the movie, is like that he's learned to not be afraid. Whatever. And apparently they date these become like they become married, they get married or something in the comics at some point or whatever. But I don't know anything about her. So this is another way, like we're kind of now even further stepping into this kind of next phase where we're introducing all these characters that I have no history with from other mediums. So it's cool because it ultimately means that more things can be surprising. But also not as fun, because part of the fun is comparing our preconceived notions of these characters to what we get on screen, right? And so we don't. I can't really do that. And I find Charlize Theron to be one of those actors that I can't see not see Charlize Theron. You know, like that's just who it's like. If Will Smith turned up in the MCU as somebody, it'd be just Will Smith there. It's the same with Charlize Theron to me. So, you know. More power to her, I guess. Any final thoughts about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? Oh, Jeremy, did I lose you?
No, I don't know if there's any.
You're just really thinking about that.
Yeah, I was. So just, Yeah, like I said, I just think it's a really crazy movie. We should just be, you know, over the moon that we have a second Doctor Strange, you know, movie adventure that is right in the middle of the MCU. That's right before this new huge phase, I guess. It's just exciting. It's just
kind of feels like the first real chapter. I mean, Loki kind of sets this. Loki and WandaVision set the stage. Then you got this movie really kind of bring it into the mainstream, you know, with the movie.
Yes.
And now it's like, okay, now we're off and running. And Secret Wars is the end. Is the kind of whatever. How many movies from years from now that is? That's the end goal, right? Yeah. Also, did you hear that quote from Kevin Feige that we've seen the last Avengers movie? Do you believe that? Like, is that true?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think it's just so tough to like know what his ultimate goal is. But to me, I keep coming back to the fact that with Secret Wars, he's going to somehow bring back Iron Man and Cap and Black Widow.
Yeah.
The OG six or whatever. And at that point, I guess it wouldn't be their, maybe it would be their movie or it's just like
they would be part of the movie, I think, at that point. Yeah.
Right. But then does that feel good? Does that feel, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's tough to kind of,
it depends on how you do it. Right. If it's just like, here's a multiverse version of Captain America and a multiverse version of Iron Man, it won't feel as good. So I don't know. Also, speaking of Iron Man, there was all those rumors that we were going to get a Tom Cruise version of Iron Man in this movie.
Correct.
And it never happened. And the rumor is that they were shot, they were in the movie, and then they were taken out at some point. And I don't know if that's true, but if it's true and there's footage of Tom Cruise as Iron Man out there, I want to see it. No, I don't care what I have to do. I need to see it. I just have to.
I'll pay anything.
Yeah. Tell me, just hook it to my veins.
Name a price.
Jeremy, have I told you I'm excited for Top Gun 2? I am so stoked for this movie.
That's an IMAX movie.
It is. If you don't go see this movie, like, you could, the sound of the planes flying over and just like feeling it like vibrate your chair. And the shots of these shots with the camera right inside the cockpit are just stunning. Like blows my mind. Stunningly cool, in my opinion. So, that's just that teaser thing that they showed us was super cool. I don't know if we have any, I don't want to talk about Avatar 2. We'll talk about that in the next main show. There's more to talk about there, but, guys, the review, people have seen this movie. It has not been spoiled. It's been out for years. Like, people, there's been a version of it done for 2 years. It's somehow not been spoiled. And you know why I think that is? Because people have seen it, they're like, we need to save this for people. People need to see this for the first time for real. And so there has been, I guess, some screenings for press over the last couple of weeks, and the reviews have been coming in. I haven't been reading them because I don't want to know anything other than just kind of general sentiments. And the sentiments are very positive, like very, very good. So I can't listen.
High expectations now.
And we talk about this, the expectations. I know that, but I honestly think it's going to be fine.
I know, Jared. This.
What could possibly go wrong? I come back from vacation just in time for that movie to come out, and I'm excited to talk about it. So, make sure you guys get into the theater there on that opening weekend, because we're going to be talking about it for sure coming out of that. All right. Well, that will do it. Make sure to, again, follow us on Twitter at Tower Babblecast, facebook.com/Tower Babblecast. I'm in a new studio, and I got to say, it's pretty cool. But it's not 100% done yet. You can tune in and see this studio live and for real on video just by going over to YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, and watching us live. The best way to keep up with when this is going live is to subscribe so that you get those notifications. And then, of course, you can engage with us on the chat, on the stream, be part of the show if you like. So again, make sure to tune in live when we're coming in there. We are doing a exclusive film club for our Patreon. If you want to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/TowerBabbleCast. We're doing Waterworld this month. So let me just lay it out for you. We have a new studio. We've got we just watched a really crazy Marvel movie. That was this month. We got Top Gun coming up. Then we've got Waterworld, which is just as good as all those other things I mentioned. But you can only find that on our Patreon, and that's only $5 a month. So head over there, patreon.com/TowerBabbleCast, get access to the film clubs. There are as many to choose from over the years now, with personally one of my favorites, Days of Thunder, in there somewhere a year ago. Anywho, we will be back very soon with more TOB. We'll talk to you then. We don't have blackout curtains yet. That's the biggest thing. Even in the bedroom, which is like borderline insane.
What do you mean? Why don't you just wear a blindfold then?
I do. You don't think I have a... It's called a sleep mask, they're called.
Jim. You wear a sleep mask?
I do sometimes.
Every single night?
Not every single night.
Every other night?
No, so if I wake up in the morning and it's light, I will put it on.
That's hilarious. I'll go back to sleep.
It's a game changer, Jeremy.
Just bury your face in your arm or something.
Well, then your arm falls asleep.
Just put your pillow over your face.
That's what I used to do, but then it doesn't work.
But Jeremy,
I've tried all these things. I've tried these things, tried and true. All right. The sleep mask has been around for a long time. Next thing I'm going to do is get one of those hats, those like sleeping hats that are like really long.
Oh, maybe you need a... There's no such thing as a sleeping hat.
You know, those caps that you see from like the like old timey things where like people would get up.
Yeah, that's when they're sleeping outside on a bench or something.
No, they got like a nightgown. They have like this gown that goes down to like their shins, and they've got like the long hat.
It's like a doctor. It's like a hospital outfit or something.
Yeah, but it's like people wear that to bed.
Like a gown.
Yeah, that's right. With the matching hat.
Well, they do the hat probably because of like bed hair.
Well, I bet you they do the hat because back then it would get cold as fuck, right? They didn't have central heating. So they would get into their covers and they'd have clothes on and a hat because it's cold.
There'd be bugs around too.
And bugs, exactly.
Burrow into the hair. Goodness.
Well, I bet you everyone had lice back then. It was just the way it was, you know.
Is that you walked around with little worms living on your head? It's the way it was.
That's just the way it is. It's the way it is.
And they just transferred to kid to kid in the McDonald's play centers.
Yeah, that's right. That's funny.